This is part of our 2012-13 seminar series for the Institute, and we're delighted today to be able to welcome John and Basil. They would prefer to have a very informal conversation with colleagues here today, so they're going to speak for about 15 minutes to begin with, and then Duncan's going to chair a questions and answers session afterwards. So thanks very much, and I'll pass over to John and Basil.
Well, we're hot foot from our great success on The View last night, and I would like to say to you that John McAllister is my man for First Minister, just in case there's there's any misunderstanding.
I'm actually my man for First Minister too.
So, one of the things that might be interesting is there's a fair amount of speculation about what John and I have been up to in the last almost 2.5 months, because obviously there was a something of a falling out with the UUP, and then we had to decide what we're going to do next. A couple of things worth saying on that. The decision in Mid-Ulster to run a joint candidate was something of a surprise to us. We only found out about it actually from the news just when it happened, and given that we'd already made it absolutely clear to the party that we were not going to get into some form of unionist unity, if they'd wanted to manage the situation a bit better, then perhaps they should have been talking to us. But nevertheless, it was clear that whenever that decision was made, and we're quite happy, I'm sure John actually would probably deal with that issue specifically, about why we don't think unionist unity either exists or talk about it as a good idea. But it was quite fundamental to us. We'd made it clear to the UUP that we weren't going down that route. And I can also say that I had certain difficulties with the stance that the party took on the flags issue in Belfast City Council. And there was, as you're probably aware, some disciplinary issues that were going through that I had to go through. That was actually a bit of fun, though maybe only fun to people like us that like the nitty-gritty of it. My stance on it was this, that I was a member of Lisburn City Council, which was a predominantly unionist council, and we had taken the decision, whenever I was a councillor, I voted for it, that we would only fly the flags on designated days. So we had been flying the flag for the whole year, and we took it down. And we did so because of legal pressure. It's because actually we'd been going through, we'd had people saying that, but this is a place of work, this is how you have to respond. But nevertheless, we decided that we would do it. And what we did that was different to Belfast City Council was that we did it without much fuss. We took the decision, we took the flag down, we didn't say anything, and you know what? Nobody noticed. Nobody even knew it was there. And so part of the debate that I had actually on the Nolan Show when it came back up is I was making the point that we didn't handle it correctly in Belfast City Council. No matter what it was that you were going to do, the idea about getting everybody terribly exercised about the matter was bound to lead to difficulties. But whenever I was asked, what would you have done if you were in Belfast City Council? I said, I would have voted for flying the flag on designated days. Now, I couldn't do anything else because I'd voted for it in Lisburn City Council, designated days, and I was sitting up in Stormont, which is designated days. It would have been terribly inconsistent for me to have said anything else. But I also felt that whenever I went to look at the party policy on this, I also felt somewhat surprised to discover that this was in fact party policy. And it's one of the challenges with Northern Ireland, that we tend to forget what went on and go, I hear Sammy Wilson has just voted £10,000 or just asked him to put flagpoles up on some of his buildings. And actually, if you go back to the history, what happened in and around the year 2000 was that we were struggling to get the Assembly back up and running. Two Sinn Féin ministers had got control of their ministries and they were saying, we're not going to fly the flag at all, and this was apparently going to crash the whole Assembly. They couldn't get it back. And so important was it that David Trimble organised with the government to get emergency order through Westminster. It was read in the House of Commons in the morning and in the House of the Lords in the evening to get through to say, this is the policy, designated days on government buildings. And there were a couple of really interesting things that the Ulster Unionist Party did at that time, and I had great fun reading them back in my disciplinary committee. First of all, quite a few of them actually spoke, they were on Hansard on it. Secondly, what they voted for is designated days only. In other words, no option to fly it more than the designated days. So we were a unionist party that brought this through. And we also had a situation where we had to revert to what was the same as the rest of the United Kingdom, which was, I think, brought us down to 16 days, and then we were allowed one day back because that included St Patrick's Day. But the one day that we had to stop flying the flag, we voted for. The Union flag must not be flown on government buildings on the 12th of July, which it previously was. And I read this all out to them and said, look, this is our policy, this is what's gone through. We had ad hoc committees in Stormont, we had debates in Stormont on Hansard, we had reviews coming back, we had all of these issues. And the real tragedy of all of this is that we were actually going back to reopen an argument that had already been taken. You know, and this part of the world is forever going back to arguments that we've already settled. And so we have a position where I just thought that was terribly inconsistent, and I was going to go across and fight my case and say, look, this is why I think you're wrong. You then got a situation where the Mid-Ulster thing came up, and as I said, I'll let John deal with that in some detail, but it just said to us that Northern Ireland needs a different type of political dynamic. We appear to be going backwards. We appear to be retrenching. You know, it doesn't take Einstein to work out that if we carry on in this trajectory, we're going to end up back in the 1970s. And I don't want to be alarmist, but I will say it as I see it. The flags issue caused us huge damage from an economic point of view. I was talking to the Hotel Federation and they're telling me that their room numbers are down. I was speaking to a major airline that said they've actually taken airplane off routes because we don't need the passengers anymore. Our inward investment, our tourism, everything is critically affected by people that have taken to the streets. And they should understand that this is an issue. But perhaps more important than the economic issue is the shared future. Because I have to say, we've gone back at least 15 years. There is no shared future. And this issue where we've heard the First and Deputy First Minister coming out with what I can best be described as sticking plasters is just ridiculous. At the same time that they're bringing out these issues about the peace walls coming down, you've got Sammy Wilson saying, I'm going to get some more flagpoles to put it up, to put up more flags. See, government needs to act with some form of unity. And the political message that we are going to try and advance, John and I, is that unless you can get some form of unifying vision, whatever that is, we are going nowhere. A divided executive, a divided country simply will not prosper. And the most divisive thing that we have coming at the moment is talk about a border poll. So, because it just brings us back to orange and green, Protestant and Catholic, all of these things. You cannot invest in a country, you cannot invest in people, you cannot invest in anything when you are not sure where you're going. So our view about the type of politics that we would like to offer is that we are quite clear that we believe that Northern Ireland's best interests, the people of Northern Ireland as a whole, are best served within the United Kingdom as a devolved administration. We think a lot of people agree with that, whether they come from a unionist, a nationalist, or neither background. We think people agree with that. They sort of get the political reality. But one of the things that we've had to debate over the last 2.5 months, because we've had, and I'm sure John has had this experience as well, that whenever we walk down the street, we get a lot of people, and the conversation goes just like this. They absolutely knock people out of the way, literally, to come up and shake your hand and say, thank you very much, really pleased what you've done, really courageous, which is never a word we like to really hear, is it?
No, courageous, not in politics.
Courageous, not good. But we get courageous. And that's fine. And you say, thank you very much. You know what the second line is always? The second line is always, Now, understand, I'm actually a Catholic. I'm not one of your side normally. I'm going back in. You have this debate where people are coming up and saying to you, look, you know, this we think it's okay. We like what you're doing. And so part of our challenge that we have to find is a way to nuance a message that goes out that reassures those people that might be from a unionist, particularly a small unionist background, people that do not need to wave a flag or to drape around them to, you know, express their identity. We want to keep those people on board. We want to give them a voice. We don't think they have a voice because it's gone to the extremes. But we're also wondering, is it possible for us to give some sort of voice to people that, although of Irish cultural basis or even Northern Irish cultural basis, can we give them a political vehicle that they can actually come along and vote for as well? And of course the proof of the pudding will actually be whether they do more than just slap us on the back and say, well done, very courageous, as to whether they'll actually vote for us. So we're trying to bring these together, and we're looking at other people that may not be either unionist or nationalist. They just want simply good government, because frankly we do not have good government. And we could give you a list of things that we know about that things are going wrong. It's so long, actually you don't have time to get the press release out until another one's come along. But we are also of the view about how do we communicate with people? Is it about going more of the knocking thing? Because John has made clear, and I'm going to invite him to talk in just about 30 seconds from now, John, the about opposition and about what that would mean. But how do you confront people without getting in to the same tit-for-tat type of thing that you saw last night on The View? You know, this there is a legitimate role for oversight, holding people to account, pointing out where things are going wrong, because things are going wrong, we are wasting a lot of money. But at the same time, what we really want to get, and what we would like to do with our political vehicle, is to get some degree of positiveness back. You know, somebody that is actually going to go out and say, you know, I believe in Northern Ireland. I really do. What strikes me most is people from all backgrounds. We have visitors from across the water. We take them to the same place. We take them to the North Coast. We take them to the Mourns. We take them to Fermanagh. And we're all very proud of it. So there's something here about how we build on that. And I also have a belief that Northern Ireland does have an economic future, that we have an awful lot of good things going for us. Sometimes we talk ourselves down, but we do have fantastic universities, fantastic further education colleges, good infrastructure, relatively stable climate, proximity to big markets. There's all sorts of things that we can go along and do. But you know what? If we do not get the stability thing sorted out, then people will leave in their droves because they're having to look for jobs, and that's a real disaster. So our vision for Northern Ireland is one where we want to see some peace and stability. We are not trying to shoehorn people into some sort of integrated education solution or tell people this is what you must do. What we feel is that people naturally, if given a bit of time and space, will start to mix. Will start to say, we don't mind which house we're living in. It's not what area it's in. It's, we like the house, we want to be there. You know, this is the type of Northern Ireland that I think we can all subscribe to. And our bottom line is that we think we should be aspiring to better. Northern Ireland deserves better than what we've got. The political situation should be better. Our political leaders should be better. But you know what? There's no point in us just sitting in our armchair and saying this. We've got to go out and do it. And so we take a fairly pragmatic position on this. It's a challenge out, because some people say, you know, you don't have a chance. It's the same old, same old. We will be putting a challenge to the people of Northern Ireland. We will be saying, if you want the same old, keep on voting for the same old. If you want something different, if you want something new, if you want something dynamic, if you want something better, then you're going to have to vote for us. And on that particular note, no better man than John McAllister.
Well, thank you, Basil. Probably just start off, good afternoon, everyone. A few of the challenges that have faced, you know, Northern Ireland, Basil has set some of the context. You look at relationships, particularly from the last year's parading season, the pressure put in the Parades Commission, and you look at that and you look at people ratcheting it up the tension. And these are people who haven't quite realised, actually, you know, I'm the First Minister. I should be supporting the Parades Commission. I mightn't like the Parades Commission. I might think it's a crazy system, but I can't think of a better way of doing it. Or I can't pass the legislation necessary. So you have to have a party that actually supports the rule of law. You would not hear David Cameron or Enda Kenny talking about the rule of law in respect of UK and Republic of Ireland in such ad-lib fashion. The same one comes to a flag protest. Somebody mentioned in an earlier discussion, we've already changed the court system and made beds available in McGabbry for the G8, 6 weeks ahead of the G8. Look at how quick we reacted during the flag protest. So our economy's grinding to a halt, and what do we do? Well, look, it's all terribly difficult. And that was the response. And political leadership, where was it? You know, in fairness to Basil, he came out and said something that was, you know, I think he rang me after he'd first said designated days. I sort of thought, I'm not sure I'd have touched it, but however, that's what you have to do, and that's what I want our new political party to actually do. At times, have to say things that maybe not everybody wants to hear. But that you have to get that message out to people and say, actually, you know what, this is wrong, this is the way we should be doing it. If the Parades Commission make a decision, I mightn't like it, but we have to respect it, or else come up with a different body to do it. The reasons probably for leaving the UUP, probably quite a change in less than 11 months from I contested the leadership of the UUP to being out of the UUP. So... where did it all go wrong? The advice I would give to anybody, and it applies actually to Basil, is never come second in a leadership election. And it's you know, good advice to always remember that. So obviously I came second, significantly second, in fairness to Mike. But what happened? It basically happened that Mike was leader of the Ulster Unionist Party with no clue as to what he wanted to do with it. I mean, that was the problem. People that had helping me during the few weeks of the campaign to the party leadership, we kept every day waiting on Mike's big announcement, the big idea, and it hasn't actually arrived yet, and it's, you know, 13 and a half months on. It's easy for me to remember because Harry's 13 and a half months old and he had me up at 5:30 this morning. Anybody want him for the weekend? No. And it just kept going all through that year. When I was warning the party internally and then externally as my well-known covenant speech, and probably one of the most read speeches I've ever delivered, that everybody went on to social media to find out what did John say so horrendous that he got fired as deputy leader. So that started, and we were in to a covenant parading, and all of the tension on the Parades Commission, all of the stuff, and I just felt Mike and the party are going in the wrong direction on this. There was just heading in the wrong way. Then the flags parade, and I remember doing a speech before Christmas that Mike wasn't particularly happy with me doing, but I spoke then about we need to show a spirit of generosity. We've a divided society. We cannot reduce everything to these zero-sum games. And then you get into the new year and all of this stuff about Mid-Ulster. And the problem for me with Mid-Ulster wasn't the choice of candidate. I had no difficulty with Nigel Lutton personally. But the issue was, what's the message it sends out? The message that it sends out is just a sectarian carve-up. You know, it's not that we're trying to reach out to people, that we're trying to move off identity issues and talk about the issues that affect us, youth unemployment, the economy, jobs, skills, schools, hospitals, all of that thing. So we're heading completely in the wrong direction. And I knew if I'd let that go, I'd have been bought into it. So I'd made one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make and resigned from the UUP. It so happened I was due on The View that night to speak about social care. But that I made that decision simply because I did not want to be part of it. And I know that I'm in one of the most difficult seats in the Northern Ireland Assembly to hold. But the challenge is, as Basil said, that I have to go tell people in South Down and across Northern Ireland, if that's the sort of politics you want, you have a responsibility to come out and vote. Politics is just too important to be left to the politicians. Get out and vote and get engaged in what politics is about. And the primary thing I've always thought about changing, right from I stood for party leader, probably even from when Basil stood for leadership of the UUP, is about the idea around opposition. That I've looked, you know, I've been in Stormont from March 2007. I've watched the system as it goes. I've been Michael McGimsey's man on the Health Committee. I've been the Minister's man on the committee. I've been on a against a minister from an opposing party. So I've watched the system. I've watched the way the lead parties treat the smaller parties. And you're back to, I think Alex had a tweet out yesterday, you know, stop whinging or leave the executive. And that's the bottom line. You need an opposition. Every system of government needs a challenge function. It needs the checks and balances. Now, whether that's the American system where you cannot serve in the executive and the legislature or the judiciary, but you need that check and balance, or it's the Westminster or even the Doyle Éireann style of government where you have an opposition, where parties even can group together informally and get a place on the business committee, get a party from a non-executive party chairs the public accounts committee. Issues like that you need that challenge function. You look at the reasons I took the party out of the Great Shared Future talks was because they weren't listening to us. They were ignoring us. They put out a statement that July to just say, well, look, we're winding this up in September and we're going to publish it then. And you go, is that any way to treat people when the deal was that nothing was agreed till everything was agreed, and what the group couldn't agree, it would go to party leaders? Now, we've had this great new announcement, the most exciting thing in Shared Future in years, and it's that we're going to throw £500 million and take 10,000 kids away somewhere. And that's, we're not sure where they're going, but we're going to take them away. And this is it. And you're waiting. So you have a few weeks now, you have a few weeks to wait till the grand strategy is unveiled. And then, of course, you will have, after the grand strategy is unveiled, we'll need to see, is there an action plan to follow? Are government departments going to be challenged? And, of course, you were watching The View last night. You have Danny Kennedy, David Ford, who are executive ministers, didn't know about it, and presumably neither did Stephen Farrey, another executive minister. And O'Dowd's answer was, so what? But the response from Danny and David are, well, we're still getting into the working group. It's not actually sod your working group or you're going to treat us like that. And that's what they actually should be challenging, this type of government. You know, Sinn Féin, the DUP, credit to them, they've won the election. Let them get on and govern. Let them get on and govern and challenge what everyone else should be in opposition. I'm fully committed to power sharing, absolutely no question of that. Don't want to see anything, but the very essence, and I've looked at the legal advice on this, there is no reason the Northern Ireland Assembly cannot create a formal opposition. We can change the structure, we can evolve it through time, we could start off with using De Haunt, we could move away eventually from De Haunt, from designations. I don't like the designation system, I don't like the fact that, and I might be speaking for the Alliance Party in this, I don't like the fact that Alliance Party vote doesn't count the same as mine. I don't think that's actually a fair system. So I would like to move away from a designation and from De Haunt and move to a weighted majority vote. Do I think we can do that immediately? Probably not. But we can evolve the opposition and get that challenge function into our government that's so badly needed. You look at the litany of problems that we face as a society. There is no collective responsibility. There's no movement in education because we can't agree on it. Welfare reform, the bill just keeps getting pulled because we can't, DUP and Sinn Féin can't agree on. The only thing we can get, like everybody nearly out, to agree either for or against is something like equal marriage. So we know that the DUP are definitely against it. So nothing gets moving in the system. You're not getting a collective program for government that actually says, you know what, the executive is moving in one direction. This is going to be the challenge function. I can give you a very simple example of the two lead departments for dealing with autism strategy should probably be health and education. Education's committed to a specialist centre up in Middleton, in, right on the border, and the Department of Health is opposed to it. So we just keep spending money on it with, you know, and that's the collective response you need in one issue, that you say, right, decide what the policy is and then do that. But don't have this sort of piecemeal approach where we're just throwing money at something because one department likes it and the other department refuses to use it. It's just a crazy way to run things. Get a collective form of government and get the executive working and get the parties who lose the elections in opposition. And, you know, between Basil and I, we're happy to help lead them on that in a collective opposition. But that's what you need to get and get challenged, get chairmanships predominantly coming from opposition parties and actually do that and revolutionise how the Northern Ireland Assembly works. Start to move to issue-based politics rather than being knocked all the time, of course, by these identity one issues, and sort out the issues of dealing with the past, the flags and how we reacted, and have the courage. Peter Robinson, the biggest failing I would say about Peter is that he stood probably the most secure unionist leader certainly in my lifetime, probably from Lord Brookborough. And what has he done with it? Absolutely nothing. He's led unionism now is literally in meltdown, is fragmented. I think Uta Peace Alex has said, where it's still in the union, Northern Ireland place in the union is safe, but actually despite of unionism, not because of it. And that is actually so true. What we need to get back is the border's a settled issue. No one's talking about it. You know, it's, but we turn every election into a border poll, and that's where we have to get away from. But happy to have this as informal and hear as much abuse and questions as you like.